From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some amazing stories. By the way, my thanks to Rob Simone filling in for me for a couple days in a very bizarre episode, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. In my life, I've never gone through this before. Well, it might not seem like a lot, but melting of polar ice sheets has added a half an inch to global sea levels over the past two decades. That, according to all these scientists that have been looking at it. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, does it? But more than 20 polar research teams have combined forces to produce these estimates of the state of ice in Greenland and Antarctica. Polar ice has a tremendous capacity to cause massive rises with huge potential impacts on coastal cities and communities around the world. The new estimate shows that the polar melting contributed about one-fifth of the overall global sea level rise since 1992. Other factors include warming that causes the seawater to expand. It's a huge story. Astronomers have spotted an enormous black hole, the second most massive ever, but it resides in a tiny galaxy. The story is at coasttocoastam.com. The galaxy, just a quarter of the size of our own Milky Way, hosts a black hole 4,000 times larger than the one at the Milky Way center, according to a report in Nature. The mass, some 17 billion times that of our sun. NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has completed its very first soil analysis of the red planet with what they say no sign yet of organic material. They say rumors and speculation that there are major new findings from the mission at this early stage are incorrect, according to scientists. A story that has surfaced over a decade ago is making the rounds again this week, that the United States considered detonating an atomic bomb on the moon in an effort to intimidate the Soviet Union at the height of the Cold War. Citing a 12-year-old interview with a physicist, Leonard Riefel, formerly of the U.S. military-backed Armor Research Foundation and later a deputy director of NASA, they simply say that he said they planned to launch a rocket that would have delivered a small nuke to the moon where they would detonate it to scare the heck out of the Soviets. Author Mike Barra, The Choice, with us. Mike, what an amazing story. They were going to blow up part of the moon.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it would have done too much damage unless the moon was actually made of green cheese. But the truth is, yeah, there was a real project. It was called Project A-119. And not only was Leonard Riefel involved, who's fairly prominent, but Carl Sagan was a grad student and did a lot of the calculations on how exactly, you know, they were going to try to get this thing to the moon to blow it up. But that would have failed. There's no way they could have gotten there, given the state of guidance technology at that time. And because they didn't really understand the physics of how, you know, ballistic missiles could be fired towards the moon at that time.
Well, and let me ask you this. I mean, in 1945, we detonated two atomic bombs. Why did we need to show the Soviets again these things?
Well, remember, the moon at the time in the Cold War would have been the ultimate high ground, and that was one of the supposed political reasons for the Cold War and for wanting to go to the moon so quickly and beat the Soviets, was the idea that you could rain down bombs from the moon, or it would show some sort of, you know, my codpiece is bigger than yours kind of a thing. So it was just really more of a political statement that they had in mind. But as I said, it's a good thing we didn't try it, because if we had and failed, and we would have failed because of the physics that we didn't understand at that time, it would have been more of an embarrassment, and it would have really had exactly the opposite effect of what they intended. And I suspect in reality that that's what NASA figured out, especially when they put up Explorer 1, and it basically ended up 600 miles higher than it was supposed to because they didn't realize what was going on with the physics.
All right, thanks, Mike. Mike Bureau. Researchers say a baby's chance of being obese in childhood can be predicted at birth using a very simple formula. They found that looking at a few simple measurements, such as a child's birth weight and whether the mother smoked, was enough to predict obesity. Large amounts of unnecessary salt are being added to cheese, something you need to know about. They say there's more salt in some processed cheese than in a bag of chips. After 2 years of endless debate and national election, Democrats and Republicans finding themselves right where they started, blaming each other for the stagnant negotiations on taxes and government spending. It's called the fiscal cliff, Greg Smith with us, noted author, and he's going to be on with us next week to talk about his new work. Craig, are they going to get this thing solved by the end of the year or what?
George, I thought we would, but I'm not very confident, especially after Speaker Boehner's comments today. I mean, he wants specific spending cuts on entitlements. Mr. Obama has been less than specific or less than transparent. He's using the same tactics that he used in 2011 on the debt ceiling debate. And I'm not very hopeful, George, we will see this solved by the first of the year.
If they do not, what does that mean to us, Greg?
Well, the CBO, if you follow their report, they suggest that unemployment will go up to 9%. We'll lose about 1.5% of GDP, which means we'll be back in a recession. But more importantly, we're going to lose the payroll tax holiday, which will mean increases of 2 to 3% of taxpayers paying more taxes. 30 million Americans will be affected by the AMT tax. The 99 weeks of extended unemployment benefits will go by the wayside. And in essence, George, taxes for all Americans will go up because people have to remember the Bush tax cuts caused about 47% of all Americans to pay zero income tax. Those people will start paying tomorrow. It could be a real problem for America, and I hope our politicians in the next 32 days solve it. We'll talk about it Monday night on how this could further debase the U.S. currency and make things far worse than they need to be.
You got it. Craig Smith, thank you so much. Residents of a Western Serbian village received a very unique public health warning when the town's mayor cautioned that a vampire was on the loose. They said this is not a joke. The people are taking heed, stocking up on garlic bulbs and crosses. A guide, of course. His name is Sava Savanak. He's a local legend, says that it was a long time ago. He lived in an old water mill on the village's river. He reportedly preyed on unsuspecting visitors who stopped by the mill in search of grain. The water mill was privately owned by a local family who, because of the vampire lore, they were afraid to use it for fear of disturbing the vampire. The structure eventually rotted and recently collapsed, leaving the vampire homeless and, according to locals, angry and in search of a new home and new blood. Well, the mayor is so convinced of the legend's merit that he released an official warning after the mill collapse, suggesting that everyone stock up on garlic to be placed on their doors and windows and to ensure crosses are visible throughout the house. And he's dead serious. Well, let me tell you my story now. After I got off the air Monday night, I normally drop by a little convenience store on the way home. I pick up a whole wheat turkey sandwich. And, you know, I was hungry. I was starving. They didn't have any. It was the first time. So, you know, rather than just go home empty, I said, you know what? What can I buy? So I bought these little pizza rolls, a little tiny box of them. Not very healthy, I don't think, but I bought them anyway. Went home, microwaved them by the instructions, took them out, and I touched it. And it was very lukewarm, almost cold. So I picked one and I bit into it. And I am telling you, it was the most scorching pizza stuff I have ever eaten. This stuff was in my mouth. It felt like it was 500 degrees. It was unbelievably hot. I had to spit it out. It was in my mouth for about 5 seconds. It was so hot, it scorched the roof of my mouth. The skin fell off. Literally, it fell off. And then that little flapper thing in your throat, that started swelling up to a point where it was getting very close to blocking my air passage. I couldn't breathe. This was about 3 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time. I couldn't sleep because every time I laid down, I thought I was going to stop breathing. That's how bad it was. And it got worse and worse and worse. I stayed up all night. Monday night into Tuesday morning. Keep in mind, I've been doing Coast to Coast for 10 years. I missed one day. One day. So I said, I've got to get into work, but my gosh, my throat is so sore. I can't even open my mouth. I can't talk. I called producer Tom the next morning. I said, Tom, I got a problem. I think I said, Tom, I got a problem. He came by, took me to the hospital. Tom's born in L.A., so he knows all these places. And they kept me there for about 4 hours. And he said, you have second-degree burns, and it, had it gotten any worse, you would have had some real severe problems. And had you swallowed that stuff, we would have had to go down your esophagus and do all kinds of stuff to you. It was unbelievable. Well, I figured, well, maybe I can go on the air and produce. Executive producer Lisa said, no, no, just take it easy. So we got Rob to fill in, and I figured, okay, I'll do Wednesday night show. I couldn't do it. So I figured I'll do one more. I'll come in. Thank God we've got Linda Moulton Howe tonight with all her stories, because she'll be doing the lion's share of tonight's stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a warning to you. They had a little warning on the back of the box that said, this stuff gets hot, in so many words. And I have since been told by a lot of people that this has happened to them. Little kids, everybody. When you touch it, you think it's okay to eat. It's cool. It doesn't feel that hot at all. But you pop that thing in your mouth and you bite into it, look out. And I've got to tell you, I have been walking around the network today with a flashlight, showing anyone who is interested the inside of my mouth, and they just can't believe it. I can't believe I'm still talking, but that's where it is right now. That's what happened to me. That's where I've been for 2 days. Not dramatic. I wish I had been abducted by ETs, or that I was on a Bigfoot hunt or something like that, or that I broke up a barroom fight and I was a hero, but it wasn't that way. I bit into a pizza roll and it knocked me out for 2 days. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. You know, we talk on this program a lot about the possibility of extraterrestrial life out there, visitations, and disclosure. Stephen Bassett, of course, has been right at the forefront of disclosure. He's the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group, a leading advocate for ending what he calls the government-imposed truth embargo regarding extraterrestrial presence and the human race. He's also a political activist and lobbyist, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Stephen, how are you?
I'm fine, George. It's great to be with you, as always.
Tell me now, you've been working on something called the Citizen Hearing. What is that?
Yes, just announcing this now to certainly the your audience for the first time. This is a project that was originally conceived in 2001, early 2001, but simply couldn't get funded. A website was up for a number of years, but kind of in suspension. But it's a project that I felt was the summum bonum of PRG's activism if we could accomplish it. And we're going to be able to do it. The citizen hearing on disclosure is scheduled for April 29 to May 3rd. It will be held at the National Press Club. And what will take place on that day, or that week rather, is that I think the most powerful assemblage of disclosure witnesses ever brought together in one place will testify in panels of three and four for 30 hours over 5 days to a hearing committee made up of former members of the United States Congress and Senate.
Steve, this sounds like something you've been wanting to do for years. It's finally happening.
11 years, yes. PRG was fortunate. A supporter that has been following its work for years stepped forward and said, this is something that needs to be done, and donated $1 million to make sure it happens.
$1 million, Stephen?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
So the event is going to cost at least $300,000, but what is being funded is not simply the citizen hearing, but also a documentary is going to be made about it or based around it. And so there's going to be an LA film crew in filming the entire event, as well as doing interviews before and after. And we hope about 4 to 5 months after the citizen hearing, the documentary will get distributed, and we are definitely shooting for theatrical distribution. What's most important about this is we think this event has got the potential to be a critical mass event. And by that, I mean that over the years, there have been press conferences, and there have been conferences, books, various findings have come out. We're aware of them. You've covered them all. But they've been spread out over time, often short-lived. Some of the press conferences are about 2 hours. and they don't reach what we call critical mass. And that is when you have enough material, I guess you could say enough radioactive material, in a confined enough space so that you get that nuclear reaction that sets off an explosion. That's what we're shooting for here. We think that this is going to attract so much global interest and so much media coverage that it may very well trigger certain editors, publishers, and reporters, particularly in the political media, to finally decide, you know, we've got to start asking the right questions of the right people and demand appropriate answers. So the goal, literally, of the citizen hearing on disclosure is nothing less than triggering disclosure itself sometime in the early summer.
It's just got to be a matter of time, Stephen. We know Lee Spiegel, for example, at the Huffington Post, follows this closely. We do on this program, a number of other shows that do this as well. Maybe it's just a matter of time. Why has Stephen Bassett kept at this for so long and never gave up?
Well, as we've talked about before, I think this is the most important issue in the world today. I believe the truth embargo may have been justified during the Cold War. It no longer is. It's literally holding back civilization while the human race faces an ever-mounting array of problems that are threatening society itself. And that I'm kind of an activist. That's who I am. That's my mentality. And I engaged the issue back in 96. And as I got deeper into it, the importance of it, the value of it, the implications of it, became manifest ever more each passing year. Of course, I got to meet some contactees, scores of them. These are people that have been in a closet. They can't even talk about what's happening to them. They're essentially orphaned by the government's policy of truth embargo. And so it's just the most compelling issue. And I believe that, and I and many others, my colleagues, make some very powerful cases that disclosure may very well be the door to the answer to some huge problems that we're facing that will save millions of lives and countless amounts of lost treasure and prevent perhaps any number of calamities by human bad behavior operating under an old paradigm thinking. So it's as big as it gets. So it's not hard to stick with it, George. I've made it my life's work. I put everything up personally that I had into it. But it's a global movement. It has very clear aims. It's a truth movement. It's a freedom movement. There are a lot of people involved in many countries. But let's face it, we have not achieved the necessary, I say, critical moment that would trigger the media frenzy we need to finally force the government into a position where it has no choice. So this will give you a scope of this event. The ballroom of the National Press Club is going to be set up to look as much as possible like the Hart Senate hearing room on the Hill. There will be a capacity for about 300 public attendants, as well as, of course, the press section, the testimony tables, and, of course, the committee tables for the five former members of the U.S. The Congress. The entire 40 hours, including breaks, of the citizen hearing, which goes on for 5 days, is going to be live streamed to the Internet around the world.
That's intense.
Yes, sir?
That is very intense.
That's very intense, we're going to have a public relations professional working out of L.A. to begin in early January when the website will be launched, the full-out website. Right now there is a announcement page up at citizenhearing.com or .org or .net, pick any one of them. But the full website will go up in early January when we'll start listing the various witnesses that are on board to testify, as well as members of Congress. In addition to that, there will be press conferences being held during those 5 days, other meetings, and of course the entire thing is going to be filmed. We expect that there's going to be media coverage, possibly live, as well as the web coverage.
Well, I think there will be, Stephen, the way you've gone about this and getting some of these incredible people in here to testify. Could be a major story. Stephen's website is linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com for you. You can read all about this disclosure project, and it's very important. We'll be back in a moment with open lines on Coast to Coast AM specifically as well. If you've had the episode that I did, if you've been burned like that somewhere at a restaurant or something, check in with us. I want to hear that story. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Here I am doing the show. Second degree burns all over my mouth. The doctor said, hell, had I swallowed that little pizza roll, that could have been it in terms of me talking for a long, long time. Isn't that incredible? A stupid little pizza roll. And that's what happens. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Bob in Sun City, California, west of the Rockies to get us started. Hey, Bob.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing better.
Love your show. Hey,
thanks.
Just wanted to let you know, in regards to your microwave, there is a possibility you could have a problem with it. There is a device in your microwave called a stir blade. Basically, what that does is that moves the waves inside your microwave evenly throughout. If that blade is jammed or broken, the waves come straight down. And it is a possibility where it can heat something dead center inside what you're cooking, get that super hot, and the outside can still be cool.
Interesting. Now, how do I get that checked?
Well, it would be a technician would have to take it apart. It's usually up at the top. Sometimes they're on the bottom. It's basically a fan blade, in essence.
Okay. That might be a good point, because I noticed some of them felt real hot. Others felt real, you know, cool. So I took the one that was lukewarm.
Right. It's a very strong possibility, because I just wanted to let you know, you know, God forbid something else happened.
Okay, thanks,
Bob. We don't want to lose you, my friend.
No, not that way.
No, not at all.
I want to go down as a hero. Talk show host taken out by a pizza roll. I don't want to do it that way. Let's go to Kauai in Hawaii. Alan's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay,
I'm glad to hear you're okay.
Thank you, sir. Me too.
Well, I had a situation a couple of years ago where I was riding dirt bikes, and I believe in wearing all my safety equipment. Well, I had these really nice motorcycle, like, shiny pants on, and I laid down the motorcycle, and my leg was caught up next to the exhaust pipe, and it melted the plastic onto my leg. I mean, the cloth was like rayon or something like that, and it just melted.
Right into you. Oh, my God. That would be what? Second degree at least.
Yeah, it was. And I had a chance to put aloe on it right away, and it didn't even scar.
That helped.
Yeah.
Yep, that helped. Okay, good story. I'm told that the cells in your mouth grow really fast. The skin grows really fast. I've noticed that already. It's only been a couple days. And these little critters are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But, you know, I've got to tell you, it's still sore to swallow. You know, on a pain level of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, I'm probably at about a 7. And but you know what? It's one of those things where you got to come back. You got to start doing the show. Or it could have been weeks, and it could have been worse. Let's go to Andrew in Ogden, Utah, first-time caller. Andy, go ahead.
Hey, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hey, thanks for having me. Want to say I'm glad we didn't lose you to a pizza roll. Would have been a heck of a waste.
I know. What a write-up, huh?
Yeah.
Talk show host goes from pizza roll.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm calling because at the beginning of your broadcast, I heard you mention the recent story in the news about a nuke in the moon.
Yes.
Okay. I follow UFO investigations. I pay particular attention to a testimony given by high-ranking officers, Colonel Halt, Cometa Report out of France, Belgium case, etc. And one of the pieces of testimony I came across was by a man, I believe it was a Colonel Ross Dedrickson. Are you familiar with the individual?
I am with Halt, not Dedrickson.
Okay. Well, the testimony he gave is that some time ago, he was a part of the agency that oversaw a nuclear surety program. He made sure that people with nuclear weapons were doing their inspections and accountability processes correctly, et cetera. And he said that during the Cold War era, the UFOs had a particular interest in our nuclear weapons bases and our abilities, and they seemed to be kind of sending us a message, much in the way that we have done with North Korea and Iran, saying, hey, we don't want you to have these things. We don't trust you. And one of the other pieces of testimony he gave, and I thought it was, wow, that's a bold claim at the time, is that we were going to nuke the moon for whatever reason. And this is testimony he gave years ago. And lo and behold, a few days ago, I saw something on the news about that. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that because it kind of makes you wonder, well, if he predicted that or, you know, said that he had knowledge of that way back when, kind of makes you wonder what kind of credibility everything else he had.
Well, exactly. You know, well, Robert Hastings has been on the program before. And he reports and talks about these UFOs being over our nuke silos. And something happened. There's no question about it that they did not want to get involved, but they did want us to know that they could at any time. East of the Rockies, Wally's with us in Connecticut. Hey, Wally, go ahead.
Hey. Great talking to you, George.
You too, and, Wally.
Glad you survived that episode.
That would not have been a good way to go, Wally.
No, I've done the same thing before on pizza.
I actually thought I was going to suffocate, which is the worst way to die to me.
Right. What happens, like, sausage pizza roll or pizza, the outside cools and you don't know what's inside. It's encapsulating the heat.
That's right.
And you've got some of the most sensitive tissue in your mouth and the largest cells in your body. That is why when they do a DNA test, they swab your cheek. You know, on CSI, you see them swab the cheek.
That's right. Good
that's
point.
Where they get the best swab and the best DNA samples. And you shed more rapidly there because of wear that you have from food and whatever. And if you take biology, one thing we've done when I was years ago in school, well, I won't say how long ago, but we used to swab our cheeks. You use a clean, swab. You look in the microscope, and you can see your cellular structure.
You know what? With something like this, too, I would hope parents would not give them to their little toddlers.
Yeah.
What a disaster. Had a little baby bitten into something like that, they would have died.
Yeah. What I recommend to people is you drink cool liquids, sort of like body temperature liquids around, you know, that's not real hot, and the old chicken soup. That helps you.
That does help. As long as it's lukewarm, the hospital gave me some kind of concoction, which was there to kind of numb it and heal it. It was an antiseptic type of mouthwash. Worst tasting stuff I've ever had, but it sure worked. Let's go next to Dave in Cliffside, New Jersey. Welcome to the program. Hey, David, go ahead.
George Story, I think you missed the boat here. I think you've developed a secret weapon.
What is that?
With the superheated pizza rolls, pass them out to the enemies, got them done.
They do look delectable.
Also, in your next contract, there's going to be a clause in there. I'm telling you, no hot pizza rolls.
You know, you may be right.
No, I'm calling up, but you know my history, and I guess the Coast fans know my history about growing up in Westtown, Pennsylvania, having a lot of extraterrestrial contact. And I tell people, and they look at me like I'm nuts. But I know what happened, and I was a pretty cool kid because I didn't freak out during the episodes. But it was definitely I'm glad it happened because I feel, but I just don't know, George. How do these beings pick the person that they're going to be with? You know what I'm saying?
That they're going to abduct, for example.
Yeah, right. Is it just a random thing? You think?
It could be random, but you know, it might be genetic. Maybe they took their parents or their parents' parents.
Right.
So they might be following some kind of lineage.
Well, I'll tell you, my mother had me at a very late age. My mother had me at 43 years old.
That is late.
And after me, she had two more babies, and they didn't survive. That's pretty weird, right?
Well, maybe not weird, but definitely sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, George, I'm glad you're healthy again, man. We love you, man.
All right, David. On my way back, El Rito, New Mexico. Mary Ann's with us. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hello. I tuned in just a little bit late, and so I didn't actually hear until I began hearing from some of these callers what in the heck you ate. I guess it was a pizza roll, and I'm still trying to figure out, was it hot spicy or was it hot?
It was scorching hot. Now, it was not on the outside, and
yeah,
that's why old George popped this little sucker in my throat and took a bite out of it. And then, whoosh, all that stuff was just, it was unbelievable.
Was it from hot spice? Or
no, it was like the tomato paste and the sauce or whatever's inside it. It was just it was a mild little pepperoni pizza roll. I think I'm going to send, I'm going to mail it back to the company that made it. That's what I should do, with a big note.
Well, you were wanting to hear from people with burned restaurant experience.
What happened?
Well, with me, I was eating some nachos that had been flavored with jalapeno peppers. And it peeled the skin off the roof of my mouth, and it removed the taste buds from my tongue for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Fortunately, 3 weeks I had the most sore mouth. I could not talk.
You can't do anything.
At all.
No, I'm amazed. And the doctor said I'd be out for 6 or 7 days. And, you know, Tom and I were rolling our eyes. Tom's like my faithful assistant, travels with me all over the country, helped me get into emergency. And, you know, I'm an old Navy veteran, but I'm kind of a sissy when it comes to stuff like that. So in we go. And when the doctor said, as Tom asked him, he said, well, when can he go back on the air, doc? The doc said, at least a week. And we're both looking at each other going, no, there's no way we can't do this. This was peak Christmas time. We've got our clients. We want everybody happy. So I'm back on and knock on wood. Where is wood?
Well,
hold on.
When I had my burned restaurant experience, that was when I found out I can't eat jalapenos.
No.
That was
too hot
experience, but fortunately.
But did your air passageway, Marianne, swell up?
Not that I can recall.
That's the scary part.
That would be really, really freaky.
I mean, we take advantage of this, but we as human beings swallow a lot. Try not swallowing right now. Listen to this radio program and go as long as you can without taking a gulp or swallowing. You will find that you feel like you're going to suffocate or something. You've got to do it. It's the worst feeling ever, and that's what happens. I mean, this thing swelled up like crazy. It is 50% better than it was a couple days ago. So hopefully it just continues to get better and better and better. We've got open lines tomorrow here on Coast to Coast. Let's go next to Terry in Medford, Oregon. Hey, Terry, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I did the same thing, only with some pizza. And you know how it's in the wedge slice and the magma and the hot sauce hit the roof of my mouth. And did the same thing, just blistered right up and dropped right off immediately. But I didn't get it down the throat the way you did.
No, I didn't swallow it, thank God. Had I swallowed it, I would have been in deep trouble.
I was completely amazed at how quickly the thing just separated, and there it was.
It just melts off the top of your the roof of the mouth.
Yeah, and you reach in there and pull it out, and there it is.
Yeah.
What? It is really spooky.
It is. How long did it take to grow back?
Well, it was probably about a week, I would imagine, before I really, and then, you know, all my taste sensations and the paranoia for the longest time, because I was afraid to eat anything real scratchy, you know, and had to have softer type foods just because it really was an irritant.
And it hurts.
Yes, it does. The one that I did better than that was we were camping one time, and a friend of mine was stirring the fire with a spade shovel and dropped it down, and it was in the dark, and I stepped on the rounded part of that spade shovel barefoot in the arch of my foot, and that goes about just as fast.
It sure does. Well, I'm glad you're okay, too. Isn't it amazing how many people have had these experiences just like I did? We go next to Gainesville, Florida. Ray's with us on Coast to Coast on the Wild Card Line. Raymond, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Listen, this happened back in the 60s. It was on a mountain road, a gas station on a mountain road in the 60s and on the way to Shasta. So there really wasn't a case for an ambulance to get to me. It would have taken an hour. And they don't do – back then, I don't know if they had the technology to do tracheas, but – I swallowed a yellow jacket.
Oh.
And it landed right in my vocal cord, so I really couldn't say anything. And fortunately, I was not allergic to bee stings.
He did sting you down there. He stung you around the vocal cords?
He stung me right in the vocal cords. And if anybody out there is in the summertime or even at parties in the winter is drinking a soda, be very careful if there are any yellow jackets flying around. They'll get in that soda, and you won't notice it until it so you swallow it.
What happened, Ray, to the little stinger? Did it stick in the vocal cords?
It stuck right in my throat, yeah. And the thing was still buzzing. It was still, I could feel it moving in my throat. and I couldn't say anything. I just sit there and pointed to it. And fortunately, I am so glad that I am not allergic to bee stings. I got one on my neck several years earlier, so I knew I wasn't allergic to it, but it could have been a trachea.
Oh my God! You could have died right there. And what'd you do? End up swallowing?
They couldn't have got to me because it was up in the mountains.
Did you swallow them?
Pardon me?
Did you swallow the bee eventually?
Eventually, yeah. I got it. I got some milk or something and swallowed it down, but it was hurting for like about a week.
Well, let me ask you this, Ray. What's a bee taste like?
Yeah, I don't know what it tastes like. I just know it was bitter and stinging.
Is it kind of fluffy because of its little hair particles?
Well, I don't know, because the thing was flopping around, and I could feel it moving in my throat. It was trying to get out.
I don't blame the thing.
You know, I mean, it was very, very, very hurt, painful and uncomfortable.
You dodged a bullet on that one.
Really, for real. I could have died right on the spot.
There was a baseball player a few years ago who had a fly or a moth or something flew into his ear canal.
Oh, I've had that happen.
They had to drown the ear practically to get this thing to come out. I think it was a St. Louis Cardinals player. Unbelievable. Okay, thanks. Let's take another call. Amy in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Amy, what's up?
I was just wanted to tell you my burn story.
Okay.
It actually happened to a classmate in junior high. We had a saloon-style door in our kitchen, and we had just finished making a pizza after school. She was going to come over and play video games. And we cut the pizza, put it on a cutting board, and we're going through the doors. And my brother came through at the same time through the other end, and the pizza went flying and landed on her forearm and gave her horrible burns.
Oh, God.
I'm very sorry about your burn.
Well, thank you,
man. Don't you think that you should have read the instructions?
I don't think I have one.
Don't you think you should have read the instructions?
Oh, read the instructions. Well, they've got a little tiny thing that says, these get hot. Well, first of all, when you touch it on the outside and it's cool, you expect it to be okay, right?
Right. Radioactive.
And these things are small. They're not that big. They're about an inch long. So I popped this thing in my mouth and I squeezed it and I bit on it and it exploded. And that's what happened to me. Ouch. Well, I'm slowly making my way back to civilization. That's for sure. We're going to come back in a moment. Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some incredible stories of high strangeness, followed by a last hour of conversations with Linda right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. We'll be right back.